This is the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. In the headlines, self-employed creatives face an affordability hurdle for NIS contributions. Former Calypso monarch Joseph Invader number three Hughes dies at 75. The DLP calls for immediate coordinated action after a River Road student brawl. The Randall Phillips Polyclinic reopens today, and an employee charged for allegedly stealing millions from the Guyana Elections Commission. Good morning. With the details, I am Michelle Spencer. A veteran in the creative industry in Barbados welcomes the new self-employed unit in the National Insurance and Social Security Service, but says not everyone may be able to afford to make contributions. Artist manager at Livewire Entertainment, Ingrid Holder, noted that while seasoned industry veterans are aware that self-employed people, spanning music, artistry, painting, singing, and dancing, have always been able to make NIS contributions, the current economic climate complicates the matter.
I think the issue over the years, and even more so now with the cost of living, is persons in the creative industries, especially entertainers, do not have a monthly income. Some people work by the week, some people work by the gig, some people only have one gig a month. So the overall capacity of saying, let me contribute to my own personal NIS as a self-employed person may be a little difficult because of all the other obligations persons have.
Even as she encouraged creatives to sign on to the investment, Holder pointed to a general lack of awareness where many in the sector may not have considered making their own contributions.
A lot of persons who are out there hustling, which we call self-employment, may not have considered even contributing or going by NIS or calling to find out, how can I open up an NIS account when things are a little slow? I still have something to fall back on if I fall ill or so forth. So as I said, it's a good initiative overall for self-employed people and to encourage the creatives to come and sign up. But it is also dependent on what persons may mentally think they can afford. And they may say, I can't afford it, so I ain't going to sign up. So it's a double-edged sword.
Artist manager at Livewire Entertainment.
A paradise that some say will come, or more hell for people to see. There are more questions than answers coming dozens by the day.
Former Calypso monarch and businessman Joseph Invader No. 3 Hughes has died. The Trinidad-born Hughes, who captured the Picardy Crop Monarch title in 1992 with the hits How You Feel and Time, passed away yesterday at his home in Silverhill Christchurch following a lengthy illness. Longtime friend and colleague, cultural ambassador Anthony the Mighty Gabby Carter, says Hughes was a solid performer.
He was a very good Calypsonian, a very good guitar player who loved to use special chords and so on in his work, and loved his melodies. He didn't do a lot of hook line things to catch people. He was just lyric based and brilliant melodies. And although he wasn't dynamic on stage, his voice, he had one of the best voices of Calypso for any part of the world. And then, of course, you know, as a businessman, a lot of us bought jewelry from him over the years, and he used to sell jewelry and so on. And, you know, he was always for the art form. He was a very articulate, very brilliant. You know, he spoke French, he spoke Spanish.
The 75-year-old Hughes is survived by his wife, Caroline. The Democratic Labour Party has expressed deep concern following a violent altercation last week at River Road, where students attached to a youth development program were taken into custody. The incident, which disrupted the evening's commute and instilled fear in the public, has been described by the party as highlighting a growing challenge that cannot be ignored. DLP spokesperson for education, Felicia Dujon, urged government, the Ministry of Education, and the Commissioner of Police to take immediate coordinated steps to address the escalating issue of disorder and violence in public spaces, particularly transport hubs.
We recommend that, one, increase police presence. A visible and consistent police presence in bus terminals and transport corridors can act as both a deterrent to violence and a reassurance to the public. Two, deployment of safety officers. Beyond law enforcement, we need trained safety officers stationed at bus terminals and schools who are equipped for conflict de-escalation, youth mentoring, and guidance. These officers should not only intervene in matters of crisis, but also build trust and positive relationships with our young persons.
Dujon called for firmer enforcement of rules in relation to loitering.
It is unacceptable that the Ministry of Education has failed to address this issue, despite years of public concern. As I've said before, turning a blind eye to students loitering in bus terminals is not a policy, it is neglect. And that neglect is now costing us the safety of our children and the peace of the public. The Democratic Labour Party therefore calls for immediate and decisive action, stricter enforcement of rules regarding loitering, deployment of safety officers in terminals, and the establishment of clear policies to ensure that school students proceed directly to their destinations after school. Failure to act will only deepen public frustration and place both our children and ordinary commuters at a continued risk.
DLP spokesperson for education, Felicia Dujon. Operations at the Randall Phillips Polyclinic at Oystens will resume from 8:30 this morning. This is according to a release from the Ministry of Health, days after the facility was forced to close after a nurse was allegedly assaulted by a parent during an argument over a child's vaccination. The attack prompted calls from many sectors for increased security at all public health care institutions to ensure the safety of staff and patients. The head of a local counseling organization is calling for government support as more schools seek alternatives to suspension for students. Chief Executive Officer of Supreme Counseling for Personal Development, Sean Clark, says an increasing number of schools is turning to his services. His suspension program focuses on intervention during and after the period students are removed from class.
Usually we get calls from the schools that we work directly with. These are three new schools that said, listen, we have children that we need to send to your suspension program. It is important because I advocate that it makes no sense to suspend a child from school without sending that child to get some level of intervention for the period of time that the child is suspended, with the hope that by the time the child returns to school, that is a change. With the Supreme Alternative to School Suspension Program, you are not just with us for the 10 days of suspension. After that period is finished, you still have 10 weeks of follow-up counseling with us.
Mr. Clark is now appealing for sponsorship or direct government funding and warns that as demand grows, sustaining the program without assistance will become a challenge.
Yes, we have the psychologists, but they have to be paid. As well, a number of the students come to us without eating anything, so we like to provide lunch and breakfast for them, and these things cost money. So we really need to get that help. We have two proposals before government, one before the Ministry of Education, one before People Empowerment. We have been awaiting word from government, and we still have not heard anything positive coming out of government as yet. I have all the faith and all the confidence that they will come through because they know the importance of programs like this, not only with Supreme Counseling, but other organizations as well.
Chief Executive Officer of Supreme Counseling for Personal Development, Sean Clark. The Barbados Chess Federation is pleased that the Ministry of Education has jumped on its idea to include the game in the school's curriculum. Its president, Alan Herbert, says they are ready to lend support to the ministry, who plans to start training teachers for the program in January, with a full rollout scheduled for September 2026 academic year. The initiative will make Barbados the first country in the English-speaking Caribbean to formally include chess in its school curriculum.
We are going to be working very closely with the ministry in terms of the outreach program. It's part of our federation's and the international federation's wider program to leverage one of the most unique things about chess, its inclusivity. You could be disabled. We have one quadriplegic, I kid you not, who plays competition and he has to use a computer. He cannot move 24/7 care. But he can compete on equal terms with an able-bodied person. So we see this opportunity in terms of participating in the transformation of the educational system.
And in Guyana, a 30-year-old assistant accountant at the Guyana Elections Commission, GCOM, has been formally charged in connection with the alleged theft of millions of dollars from the Secretariat. Dikembe Gittens appeared at the Georgetown Magistrates Court before Magistrate Febeo Azore earlier this week, where the charge of larceny by clerk or servant was read to him. He was not required to enter a plea. Recapping the headlines, self-employed creatives face an affordability hurdle for NAS contributions. Former Calypso monarch Joseph Invader No. 3 Hughes dies at 75. The DLP calls for immediate coordinated action after River Road student brawl, and the Randall Phillips Polyclinic reopens today. That was the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. Don't miss the latest with Starcom Network News at your fingertips. Listen or catch up on starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp add me to 246-256-6397 to receive breaking news. Like and follow at Starcom Network News on Instagram and Facebook now. I'm Michelle Spencer. Good morning.